At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
From the king of sports books comes the king of sports podcasts. Unleashed. Presented by BetMGM. Here is your host, Jerry Ferrara and Olivia Harlan Decker.
So December brings back memories for so many people of finals. Like if you can think back to high school, college finals and the final exams to end the semester. And I kind of think it's the same in the NFL. Like who's failing? Who's passing? We're going to dig into the current picture, scenarios, betting angles, everything. Jerry Ferrara, do you ever think about these bad memories of like final exams right before the winter holiday?
You know what? I do remember all that. And I do remember, of course, I couldn't wait for the holidays, but I couldn't wait for football around the holidays is the greatest. And the fact that the way these games along with college football all line up with the holidays, like New Year's Eve is going to be insane. Christmas, it's all like it's sandwiched in all the holidays this year, which I think is nice. I think it takes some of the edge off of Santa and presents and all. There's something in it for mommy and daddy. Let's just say that.
I like that. This is my first Christmas as a mom. And I already told Sam, we are not getting the baby one thing. He's 7 months old. If I threw him like a piece of, you know, a Kleenex, he'd be thrilled.
Yeah, he'll like the boxes of your guys' gift. Like you guys are open stuff and he'll just want the box or the wrapping paper.
And like as an adult, I told Sam, don't get me anything. Like take me to a nice dinner. You know what I mean? Like that's all.
Yeah.
What do you guys do, gifts, or do you just say like, let's, you know, get that new garage door we want?
You know what? We're doing that. And I think, but what we're trying to go for is, and this is more of a Brie thing, she wants infrared sauna in the house, which I'm like, yeah, that sounds real. So how are we supposed to, So this is all in the spirit of like saving money. Let's not go crazy for Christmas. Let's go get an infrared spa that I don't know how to build.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think you want to build that. That's a big
I'm kind
gift.
Of excited, though. The three-year-old, Jacob wants a skateboard.
I'm taking back the fancy dinner now. I think
yeah, just go infrared sauna. I mean, she's also telling me like, you should reach out to them on Instagram. I'm like, oh, I know what that means.
You know, she's right. She's right. Aye, aye,
aye. I'm the one who has to do
work.
What was
the story you were going to say?
Oh, my three-year-old, I found this exciting. He wants a skateboard. I don't know how he even knows what a skateboard is. I haven't been on a skateboard since I was 16. He really wants a skateboard. So I guess I have a skater kid. I didn't even know.
Ooh, recipe for a broken arm.
Yes.
So get ready for that. We have a big show today, Jer, as we welcome in NBC's Matthew Berry, fantasy football guru. He made the jump from ESPN to NBC after 15 years over at ESPN. That happened this offseason. So we'll get his take on the playoff picture, the career change. I find that stuff really interesting. and the expansion of legal sports betting and fantasy football, everything. I can't wait to talk to Matthew Berry. But let's take a look at the playoff picture. I'm curious what you're going to think now as we're looking at updated odds, starting with the AFC. The Chargers now have the 7 seed after a big win over Miami. It kind of quieted people comparing Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa. I thought that was kind of a bad comparison anyways, to be honest. Like, I think Herbert has the brighter future, longer career ahead of him. Kind of a tangent. But they own the current tiebreaker against the Jets. Bengals and Ravens are both 9-4, but look like two teams. They look like they're headed in the opposite direction. Now, Ravens might be on their third quarterback this weekend. But what do you think about the AFC for teams who are on the cusp?
Well, I was certainly a little off. I was worried about the Chargers when we talked about it a few weeks ago because of their schedule and their health, although they seem to be getting healthier. There's talk of Bosa, which that would be huge for them.
Huge.
You know, Herbert with the lead throwing like 43 passes was crazy. Look, I'm with you. I don't see the debate of who's better. I think both quarterbacks are very, very good. I think Herbert has the chance to be one of the best. And Tua, who has the stats to back up all the hype that he's gotten, we are really going to learn a lot. Because I heard the rumors that they had like heaters on because it was like 55 degrees in LA. So the Dolphins, they're going to Buffalo this Saturday at 8:00 at night. And that is going to be a real, like, if Tua plays well, if Miami wins or just even loses, but Tua, if it's like a duel, Tua, I think will earn. I think everyone could shut up about Tua. Is he good? Is he not? That being said, even if he has a tough game, I would not say, all right, we're all out on Tua. I just certainly would say it might be really hard for you in that division, being that you should be in the AFC South. Let's be honest. You should be in the South.
Yeah.
You should not be in the NFC East. You are on the East Coast. You should be in the South. It's a disadvantage for them, in my opinion, when it comes to December.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, that's not a good sign when you've got the heaters on the side and 50 degrees. Come on. So Ravens are -135 to win the AFC North. Bengals +110. The Bengals have the highest ticket percentage and handle over at BetMGM. So people are still loving the Bengals. Okay, let's look at NFC. Vikings will win the North. Eagles will probably win the East. The Niners should win the West. The South is a shit show. Beyond the Cowboys, the last two spots, I think, are up for grabs. So who do you think gets those last two spots?
Well,
Giants, Commanders.
Well, we're going to get that. I mean, that game, which we know is coming Sunday night. So for me, this Sunday night's big. I hate to say that the Giants took the week off against the Eagles. They didn't. The Eagles are just significantly better. The Giants do not have the firepower to go into battle. But they could still kind of control their own destiny if they beat the Commanders. I do like the Giants to do that, even though it's on the road. What gets me about this whole wild card situation is I actually think of the Giants and the Commanders and a team like the Panthers, I think the Panthers are the best of all three. And
yeah,
they've just been so snake bit, but they really are. Like, the DJ Moore helmet thing could actually be the reason why the Panthers don't get it. It's as simple as that. That might be the thing that screwed them out of the playoffs. But my money would be on the Giants still right now. But
of course,
I just like where they're at. But this game's going to tell us everything. This is a playoff game on Sunday. We're getting our first real playoff game this Sunday.
I know, we kind of thought this last weekend was going to be like our playoff preview. The Panthers look like the only ones who want to win it. It's such a mess.
Yeah, they're physical. The defense is good. The running backs are good. Quick thing on Heineke. I don't know if our listeners know this. I don't know if you know this. I found this to be interesting as a sneakerhead. This goes back to last year with Heineke. He, after he slays a team, goes out and buys a pair of Jordans that are the same colorway as the team he just beat. So I thought that's something I would do if I was an NFL quarterback. Like, if you beat the Vikings, you're coming home with some like Bel Air Jordans, you know? So I would completely, or actually Grape Fives would be maybe something like that. I just thought that was cool about Heineke. I don't want to like him, but that makes me like him.
Oh, I like him. I'm all on. And remember last year, this got more hype, the story, but we should remind our listeners and remind you if you forgot that he was sleeping on his sister's couch before he got picked up. Like, he's a what we call rags to riches story as far as NFL players go. I mean, pretty good. So I'm always cheering him on. I like that he's got a good head on his shoulders. And now I love his Jordan story. That's pretty good.
I love a sleeping on the couch story. Jeremy Lin was my favorite one when he was sleeping on Landry Fields' couch. But I slept on the couch at 43 years old, I could not play NFL quarterback the next day. Let's just say that.
No, and I don't think anyone's asking you to.
No, didn't want me off the couch.
Oh, Yeah, no, Commanders can be dangerous with him, though. They've got playmakers. I like scary Terry McLaurin. They're running the ball well, good defense. Heinicke can be a gunslinger when he needs to. So I'm watching the Commanders pretty closely. What about NFL win totals? Did you do any of that this offseason?
I did. In addition to the Seahawks for the division, which we know about, yeah. I did take the Seahawks over, which I think was a 5.5 at the time. I did take the Giants over, which I think they've already hit, or they need one more win to hit. I definitely had a loss in there. I think I took Bears over, was stupid, which was a loss. But there's been a lot of variance, to say the least, in these over-under wins.
I remember you kind of hyping up the Bears a little bit. I mean, see how you were hyping up the Texans a little bit.
Listen, I hyped up the Texans to upset, to be have one of the biggest upset wins of the year.
Which they almost did this past weekend.
Didn't it feel like they like called down to Lovie Smith when they were on like that first and goal from the one after that interception, and then they just ran four of the worst plays I've ever seen for the Cowboys to stop them. It's like, there's draft picks on the line here, Lovie. You don't want to win this one.
I know. They don't. And you've got to look at that. You've got to know that's in the back of their minds.
I guess.
Not so much a head coach, though. I always think this about players, too. Players cannot tank. You know what
I
mean?
No. That's how you get hurt, by the way, in the NFL. It's like not trying. I feel like you're more likely to get hurt that way.
And let's be real. At the end of the day, as an athlete, as a player, you're considering your future before you are the franchise's. So, like, you want to put up your stats. You want to provide for your family. You want to sign a good contract in the offseason. You kind of don't care about their draft picks, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. I would have to really have a long-term contract with T. I don't even know. Yeah, I just don't think athletes, players think in that way. Like, hey, if we lose these two, we get a great draft pick. There's so much pride on the line and also their own safety. But also, if you're the Texans, you got to just love the Browns losing and Deshaun Watson not looking good. Because even if you do win a game, that pick just gets better and better by the week.
Oh, by the second. Yeah. And just, it feels good. Just like, get him out of here and let's watch him lose. So yeah, we keep mentioning it was a weird weekend. We talked before we started recording. It was kind of a sad weekend, a sad week with the passing of Mike Leach. I cannot believe I'm saying that. That's, as someone who is so in love with college football and so ingrained in college football, that one feels like a major loss in the world of college football.
That's tough. I was following that story because at first people thought he passed and they're saying, no, he didn't. But it's just awful. I've been watching some highlights of his. It's the worst part of it all.
The gem. Mm-hmm.
It's really where you start to say, like, we love sports. Sports are the best. But there's just a family element to this and a human element that sometimes it's just a good reminder to all of us. So yeah, it was definitely a tough week with Mike Leach. And then also obviously everything going on at the World Cup with Grant Wall is one of the, you know, most prestigious. I mean, he is the soccer football journalist. And then I know another journalist passed away too. So coming off those tragedies, then the Mike Leach tragedy, it just was a tough week in sports. So, going into this holidays, let's enjoy the football and let's do all that, but let's also give our family a hug.
Yeah. Oh, that's well said. It's funny, just it's people at the end of the day. You know what I mean? As we cover these sports, it's people, it's families, it's everything. And that's the weird part. And Jerry, I know you're kind of new to being a sports journalist. We can call you now, I think, officially. You do have to cover a lot of ugly things, a lot of sad things. And
yeah,
this week was kind of one of those. But on a positive note, a great story to come out of this weekend was Baker Mayfield. And I don't know if this will be sustained. A lot of people saying that final drive, 98 yards that he led the Rams on, was they were in press coverage. It was kind of a gimme. They were in prevent defense. Like there are a lot of people who are like, oh, it wasn't that hard. But you've got to admit, a guy who landed on a Tuesday and played on a Thursday, I think he wore a game jersey before he wore a practice jersey, and pulling that off for a career that's been kind of riddled with injuries and haters and some drama and everything. I was just really happy for Baker Mayfield in that moment.
I was too. And look, he's not the first player to leave the Cleveland Browns and end up having success with the LA Rams. Odell Beckham, we're talking about you. Yeah, it's great to see. People are going to try to poke holes in it. I do think the Rams are in a pretty precarious situation without having their draft picks, with all the payroll that they have. Like, this could be a good way to, if it is a blow-up situation, soften the blow-up, or even the retool, because Stafford, who I love, I don't know. Are you secure on how much longer Stafford plays for and what he has left? Now, I'm not even saying that I think he doesn't have anything left. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to tell because the guy's hurt and the guy's taking a lot of hits. So to take a flyer and bring Baker in for whatever Mike Lombardi told us it was, like $1.1 million, at that point, if you're the Rams, money is not an object.
Yeah, that's chump change.
You know, he's still young. He's a number one overall pick. I think it was a great move by them to kick the tires there. And who knows, that could be their way of rebooting without having, you know, not going to be able to draft a quarterback in the first round this year. So that might be a sneaky way to do it.
Yeah. So that was a feel-good story. Later in the show, you know, we introduced the Audible of the Week. That's coming up. His post-game comments, I thought, were a lot of fun. So that's going to be our Audible of the Week coming up. I have a question for you, Jerry. Sticking with New York, going to New York, the Bills. I feel like they're not as scary as we thought they were preseason. Von Miller's now out the rest of the season. If they win out and they have home field advantage, I think that's huge. But I mean, I don't think they want to see a team like the Jets again, even. I feel like they're looking kind of mortal.
I think that's correct. I will say I love to underestimate the Jets. No one loves to underestimate the Jets more than I do. You just can't do it. In a weird way, if you look at that win for the Bills, which normally a Bills Jets game that ended that way, so yeah, the Bills might have been off. I think the Jets, to beat the Jets, you almost have to kill them. And they almost killed Mike White. Mike White almost died on the field.
Oh my God.
He took,
poor guy.
Yeah, he took two or three of the biggest legal, no helmet to helmet hits that I think I've seen a quarterback take in a long time. And he still kept coming. Quinnen Williams even went down and they were still fighting. I hate to give the Jets all this credit, but I do. Yeah, you definitely don't want to see the Jets again. But I also think that I think the Bills will be okay. And home field for them, I just think that's huge. In case you do see a Dolphins or a Chargers or the Chiefs, a high powered, although I don't think Mahomes cares where he plays. I think home field is probably most important to them out of the teams that could still get it.
Because of weather?
Because of weather. And just, yeah, I just think that they are built for that exact type of game. Yeah. And we're going to learn a lot by the Bills-Dolphins this week and see a team who maybe not, who knows if they're built for that. So I think it could help the Bills the most.
I guess I just feel like other teams are hitting their stride now. And like when I mentioned the finals analogy, like this is kind of where you have to be at your best this time of year. And I feel like the Bills aren't at their best right now, where other teams are streaking, getting their act together. A team like the Bengals comes to mind. You know what I mean? Like where you're kind of like, oh, they're better than we thought they were. One team that's really getting their act together at the right time, the Lions. They won for the fifth time in the past 6 weeks, beating the NFC North leading Vikings. They were a 1.5-point favorite at home. They covered, winning by 11. And it was the most bet game of the weekend. Did you put money on this one?
I did. So I had a parlay and a teaser. I've been hitting teasers all year long, folks. And I know a lot of people have a lot of feelings about teasers. If you believe in them that much, throw them in a parlay. Well, I had a parlay that I went 0-3. I lost all three picks of my money line parlay. But my teaser, I needed every single one of those 10 points. I actually pushed the Vikings up to 12 or 12 and a half and covered basically by that 1 point because the Lions in the fourth quarter just destroyed them. That was a close game going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they just put some separation. It is really impressive what's going on with the Lions. And Olivia, I want to ask you this because I got into a debate with Twitter, mainly one person on Twitter who I thought had a terrible take. And I called him out based off an Ian Rappaport article saying what a mistake it would be for the Lions to stick with Goff and not draft a quarterback with one of their two top 15 picks that they'll have.
Okay. Before I didn't see your tweet. So before you tell me your take on it, I already have a take on this, and I think Jared Goff right now is playing this game so well, and I don't mean the game football. I mean the contract game. I feel like he's in a great position to stick around and earn some money now. I think Detroit would be foolish to waste one of their draft picks right now for a quarterback who right now they've got a quarterback who's getting it done.
Listen, you could.
Are
you
we
could,
disagreeing?
No. That is my perspective. I would maybe feel differently if that Rams pick was going to be number one. Then I would maybe say take a long, hard look if there's a quarterback you love or number two. I don't think it's going to fall there. The Rams will probably be somewhere between 4 and 6. The Lions pick is getting better, worse and worse because they're winning. I think Goff has had a great season. I think that offense has played amazing. Yes, you could say, well, maybe it's the emergence of Amon-Ra St. Brown. He hasn't even had DeAndre Swift for most of the season. Jamal Williams is the best goal line running back probably in football. I think that it got off to a rough start. I think his last 10 games, he's been fantastic. He's top 10 in yards. He's top 10 in touchdowns. And that number, and it's just getting better and better, and they're on a win streak. So if you have, say, fourth or fifth overall, and then, say, 15th overall, I'm not saying you're building around Goff, but would it hurt you to take to add another defensive player and maybe another wideout or another offensive lineman to go with what you already have? I think that puts you squarely in control of the NFC North. No disrespect to your Packers. No disrespect to the Vikings, who could easily be like, I don't even know, like 6-6.
I know.
So I'm in on Goff.
I am too. And this offense is clicking. Like, if you were to ask us in August, if in December we are saying how good the Lions offense is looking, I would think we were tripping mushrooms in Joshua Tree like you did in Entourage that we're going to talk about later, by the way. But also a key piece of this offense that's emerging, and I personally am really excited about this kid. He's wide receiver Jameson Williams from Alabama. His first NFL catch went for a 41-yard touchdown reception. I interviewed him last year after the SEC championship, and I remember he just like lit up. Like, he was a really likable guy, really excited about his future and about Bama and all this. He tore his ACL a couple weeks after that in the national championship, which was actually a huge reason why Alabama lost to Georgia that night. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of been following his career, and it's really great to see that they were patient with his rehab. And now he's inserted again, right time of the year. And he's doing well. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. I never thought I'd be lobbying for Jared Goff to,
I know.
to keep his gig. I just think the guy's earned it. Oh, that's the last part of the debate. Someone, this guy said, I have Goff as like 21st to 30, like basically in the bottom eight of quarterbacks. I'm like, wait a second. You could name 21 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, not 3 years ago, now, that are better than Goff. No. I'm not saying that means Goff is the guy to lead you to a Super Bowl or base that decision, who, by the way, has played in the Super Bowl. Say what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a hard time finding like 10 quarterbacks better.
Seriously.
I mean, Geno Smith, yeah, you could say that 3 weeks ago. Do you say that for the last 2 weeks? Maybe not. So I didn't really find 21 quarterbacks better than Jared Goff. Maybe someone else can.
Jerry, listen to this stat I heard today. There have been 54 different starting quarterbacks in the NFL this season. Now think about that. 32 teams, let's say each one of them started two. That'd be 64. So we're only 10 fewer than if every NFL team started two different quarterbacks this year. Like, that's wild. And think of the names we talk about. Mike White, Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield in LA.
Darnold's back.
Darnold, yeah. Sam Ellinger.
Sam Ellinger. Yeah, the Sam Ellinger project. I remember that.
Who else? I'm missing another one.
Well, you got Mike White. Even
who the Ravens starting this weekend. Who's their third streak?
Flacco played two games. It's been crazy.
So this is a weird year, and I think this is a huge reason why I love this league so much, is it's really hard to predict. And I know we sit around all summer and we talk about futures and all this, but this is the part that's so fun to cover. It's better. You know, I love Real Housewives. I love reality TV. This is that.
I'll tell you what, though. It's made for a lot of fun bets, all these quarterbacks. Yeah. it's made for a lot of fun bets. And I think it's also made it a lot of fun for the book, like betting. Yeah, I think it's been fun at times for both sides. I think both sides have had a lot of fun and have had a lot of sadness at times, too.
Yeah, but I think our employer are cashing those checks with a big smile on their face. So we have to elaborate a little bit on Brock Purdy since I brought him up. So the 49ers rolled over Tom Brady and the Bucs, who were basically missing their whole defense. And everyone, including myself, said that Brock Purdy really just had to be a game manager. And look, he did so much more than that. He was actually pretty great. I'm the millionth person to make that dad joke, but I had to get it in. He threw for two touchdowns and ran for one in the first half alone of his first career start. And he's just the second quarterback to ever do that. And obviously, Deebo Samuel is going to be out for some time with an ankle injury, where we should really be glad it's not a knee injury. He'd be out for the rest of the season with that. But what do you make of the 49ers? I feel like I've been sitting here all season lobbying, like, don't count them out. They're going to be great. They're going to get healthy. And that was before I knew Garoppolo was out.
I have been rooting against them because of my Seahawks play, and then also thinking of our own BetMGM's own Peter Andrew and just showing up on the first episode of this show this year wearing his 49er jersey. I'm right. Like, oh, I got an enemy. That mm-hmm. being said, think about the storyline. You talked about quarterbacks. I made that bet on the Seahawks mainly based off of Trey Lance. I don't know if Trey Lance would have reached the level to where Brock Purdy already seems to be at. I mean, there's such different types of quarterbacks, but I'm feeling you with Brock Purdy. I think there's something there. And I think it's going to make the whole situation crazy. What happens if the Niners, we talk about what happens if the Niners win the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. What happens if the Niners win the Super Bowl with Purdy?
We'd have to call up Jeff Perlman and tell him to start doing his 700 interviews to get ready for that book, because that would be a book, and then you make it a movie. Find me some role in it so I can retire nicely, but that would be a story for the ages.
Yeah.
And just think, like, Kurt Warner, who's a great story. Obviously, that became a movie. Undrafted. But yeah, it would be a great story, and obviously, there's already another great story of an undrafted. Now, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, so he was technically drafted, barely. And Kurt Warner, undrafted, won Super Bowls, Hall of Famer. You know, a story like that is so rare, and that became a movie. So, Jerry, I'm just saying, you jump all over this. If Brock Purdy does something amazing here, I want you to get the rights. What do you call it? Not the rights. What do you guys call it?
Life rights. No, you're on it. You're on it. That's okay. Correct. Look at you.
I'm trying to learn something from you. Oh, my God. So, yeah, a lot going on. We're honest on this show. It wasn't like the most fun week in sports. So
definitely not. It was not. But we man, I mean, I hit a teaser, so I found some fun so in that. But so outside of that, no.
Yeah. So for a little bit of fun, let's get to our Audible of the Week. It's the King of L.A., Baker Mayfield.
I mean, I had Sean, Liam, and Zach Robinson help me study since I landed. Didn't think it was going to play out like this, but I am sure happy we covered the two-minute operation. My goodness. Originally, I was angry about having to go through so many coaching changes and learn so many new things, but that for sure helped right there. Just learning protections first, and then just talking with those guys on offense about the concepts that I like, and luckily I run a lot of them, and they put some good plays out there and put me in a good position to win. What time is it right now?
Seriously.
He's not on the time zone yet.
8:30.
So I landed at 7:15 on Tuesday. Got to the facility
at
9. Okay,
so it's been over 48 hours. Did you know you were going to be in Los Angeles as soon as Carolina let you go? Was this one of the potential teams that said, you know what, that's probably a good spot for me?
I took a gamble. I booked the flight before the waiver wire went through.
Okay. I love it.
Let's bring in our guest. He turned his fantasy into a reality by becoming the face of fantasy sports. He's a New York Times best-selling author and a go-to source for fantasy advice to some of the biggest names in the world, some of the biggest stars from NBC Sports. Matthew Berry is here. Matthew, thanks for joining us in your studio with that beautiful background.
Thank you, Olivia. It's my pleasure to be here, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. We've been laughing at some of Jerry's fantasy football this weekend. But first of all, Matthew, how many leagues are you in, like, for fun?
Well, they're all for fun. They're all for fun, and they're all serious, because I have to, like, I'm not allowed to not win one, right? You know what I mean? Like, I get, when I don't win, it happens, obviously, I get unbelievable amounts of grief.
Yeah.
I always joke about this. A number of years ago, we decided to do a friends and family league. So, like, it's me and my wife and my kids. And like their friends and their friends' parents, and like, you know, it's a neighborhood league, right? And it's just friends and family. So each adult had a kid that they were paired with, and the kids drafted, you know, and we just handed them sheets and okay, fine. So I don't know, we're like 4 or 5 weeks in, and our team's fine. It's like middle of the pack or whatever. And like at the time, my like 8-year-old goes, well, what, are we in first place? I'm like, no, you know, we're like in fourth, we're fine. And he goes, well, we're going to win, right? I mean, I have you as my coach. Now I'm like, great. Now I got to win, you know. Now I got to crush a bunch of 10-year-olds because, you know, my kid's expecting us to win because I'm his dad and we've got the, you know, we got the, we're in this league. So yeah, I'm in 16 leagues, Olivia, to answer your original question.
I get you having to win too, because that's like your kid's looking at you, you're Superman. You're like, wait a minute, Superman doesn't fly? I don't understand what you have to fly. Yeah. Listen, hopefully you picked up someone that none of the little kids know about. I have to ask you, because I've talked a lot about fantasy on the show, and my feelings, you know, you and I have talked before. I go back to scoring fantasy with a pencil in the USA Today.
I'll say this for you, Jerry, and I think we've talked about this the last time we did one of these together, but there's a real thing, Olivia. Like, I remember it was way back in the day of fantasy sports, and when it was still considered nerdy, when it's still very niche, we were still trying to get it into the mainstream. We would, like, anytime we heard of somebody, you know, a celebrity or anything like that, that would talk about fantasy, we're like, oh, you know, we hung on to it. And literally, like, the first two celebrities I ever remember hearing playing fantasy football were the late great Meatloaf and Jerry. And I was just like, wow, wait, Turtle from Entourage plays this? You know, and like, 1,000%. And so, I mean, Jerry was absolutely one of the very first celebrities to talk openly about, hey, yeah, I play fantasy football. I enjoy it. It's one of my hobbies. So we always appreciate him carrying the flag early.
I just thought all the guys with Entourage, too, they would always ask what I'm obsessing about. And I think Kevin Connolly, I finally won him over. I know you've spoken with him a lot, too. He's now in. He's almost more in than me. I've scaled back just because I have two young kids now, and Olivia has a young son. I couldn't balance the sports betting now with all of it. So I'm in three leagues, one of which still has a kicker, Matt. And I'm beside myself that I'm not going to make the playoffs in this league. And a lot of it is because I had a kicker who couldn't make an extra point. And that should be illegal now, right? Shouldn't kickers officially be illegal in fantasy sports altogether? Like, just not even an option.
Ban kickers, 100%. I'm all in. You got to play super flex. It's the best way to play. I am, if it makes you feel better, Jerry, I think in the, of the 16 leagues I'm in, I want to say kickers, we've used kickers in, I want to say like 4 or 5 of them. Like, so I haven't been able to fully get rid of them in any of the leagues I play in. Like, the league that I play in with all my college buddies, I've been in this league for like 30 years. And it's just like the commissioner is like kind of an old school guy who doesn't, you know, like, this is how we've always played. And I'm like, but we play with defenses and kickers. And I literally needed, I'm third in that league. I'm third in total points, but I've had some bad scheduling luck. And I literally needed 4 points from Nick Folk last night to get into the playoffs. And like, there's nothing. And we ended up getting it, obviously. And so I'm in it. I co-own the team with my college roommate. And it's like a way that we stay in touch over the years. But it was like, you know, there's nothing worse than sweating stupid Nick Folk to make a 50 yarder. And you're like, you know, it's like, anyway. So yeah, ban kickers. I'm with you, Jerry. There's nothing. And that's a tough one. That's a bad beat when you're not making the playoffs because of a missed extra point.
So a lot of Jerry's leagues are filled with celebrities. He's being very humble here. And I've tried to get him to name drop a little bit of who's in them. But the only one I know really, Jerry, CJ McCollum, that you've said.
CJ McCollum's in one. I'm still recovering from my loss to Bobby Flay. I even asked Bobby Flay because he trash talked me. I asked him, like, are you talking to Matthew Berry? I had to ask because he had a couple of really slick moves. I'm like, are you talking to Matthew Berry, bro? Are you talking to Bobby Flay?
Him and I have emailed once or twice, but not a lot. I mean, he's a good fantasy player because back when I was at ESPN, we did a couple of like celebrity leagues with him. And sometimes when you do those celebrity leagues, sometimes the celebs know what they're doing. And sometimes you sort of got to help them out and kind of draft for them behind the scenes. And Bobby was like, no, I'm good. You know what I mean? And he drafted a really good team. So Bobby's a really good player. He's a really good player. So yeah, it's fantasy or cooking. It's hard to beat Bobby Flay. No question.
What about any U.S. presidents?
I've never been in a league with a U.S. president. I did have we had the second gentleman. It's weird to sort of say that, but yeah, that's the second gentleman. So Vice President Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, is a big fantasy player. And he actually was on my podcast, the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. And he's been in a 30-year league with all of his old law school buddies.
Wow.
And so that was cool. They were like, you know, it's like, it's not often that you get a call from the White House. Like, you're like, you know, is this Frank? And they're like, no, like, you know, the second gentleman wants to talk about fantasy football and would love to come on your show. And we're like, anyone that's in the White House is more than welcome on my show. 100%. Right.
Who's the real running back in San Francisco? I can imagine what those questions are like.
But it is. It's like one of those weird things. I literally joke with them. I'm just like, can't you, like, you get us, you know, your wife gets, you know, the top level security clearance every single day. Can't you just like say, like, listen, who's getting the targets in San Francisco this week? You know, can you kind of flip that in there? Like, they know everything, you know, and he didn't want to do that. He's, you know, he's playing it above board, but yeah, that was fun. So, certainly that's the closest I've gotten to a White House fantasy football interaction.
So I've done a little bit of a 360, and I don't know if you've actually spoke, because I obviously listen to all your stuff. I don't know if you've ever spoken about this. I know you have. I might have even heard you on Simmons maybe talk about it. But obviously, when I first started playing, I was in like total points leagues. And then when I was really young, and everyone started doing head-to-head, so we transitioned to that. And it's been head-to-head for eternity. But I am no longer down with head-to-head, because in one of these leagues too, I think I have the second most points, and I'm in ninth place, and I'm not going to get in. And also too, when you get to this point in the year, guys who are out, who forget to set their lineups and stuff like that, and lose a game that if they would have just started one person on the bench, they would have won. I feel like with overall points, that doesn't happen as much. Not nearly as fun maybe, but maybe the more accurate portrayal of who the best team is.
Yeah, it's certainly a more accurate portrayal. The way I really enjoy playing, and I play about, you know, like I want to say like I got four or five of the leagues that I'm in this year, we do it this way. And so it took me forever. I finally got ESPN to do this, of course, and then I leave. But so you can play this on ESPN, and you can play this on like My Fantasy League and some other ways. But where you, in essence, play, it's victory points. Some people call it the Howard Stern rule, because it's a way they, I used to be in a league with a bunch of the guys in the Howard Stern show. And so the first time I ever heard this rule was through that league. So some people call it the Howard Stern rule. But in essence, the rule is that, say it's a 10-team league. You play your matchup, you play a head-to-head matchup, which is always fun, Jerry. And so you get that, you know, interaction. So obviously, whoever wins, the five teams that win those head-to-head matches get one win. But the five highest scoring teams in the league also get a win. So in essence, every single week, you either go 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2. And so that way, if you're the third highest scoring team in the league that week, but you play the first place team and you lose, at least now you go 1-1 for the week. And so that's sort of the, I really enjoy that, because it's sort of the best of both worlds. It rewards the teams that score a lot of points, but also allows you the head-to-head matchup piece of it, which is, you know, the fun part of fantasy football, that, you know, talking trash and going head-to-head and knowing that one matchup that you got to beat, you know.
So you mentioned leaving ESPN for NBC, and I think it's actually a part of a bigger conversation about the landscape of which networks cover sports and weave in fantasy football, weave in betting. We're seeing this change as networks are catching up. So when you left ESPN after 15 years for NBC, you've said that some of that played into your decision. So what did tip the scale in NBC's favor for their plans for you?
It's a little out of order. In essence, basically, I knew my deal was coming up at ESPN. And so, you know, we were talking about an extension. You know, and I had a great run there, and still a lot of friends still at the company. And, you know, they said to me, I have this side business. I have a, you know, it's a real business now. Fantasy Life, the Fantasy Life newsletter and fantasylife.com. We're up to 7 full-time employees. You know, we're going to do 7 figures in revenue this year. We're profitable. It's, you know, it's a real business. And by the way, for anyone that's a fantasy player, highly recommend checking out fantasylife.com and subscribing to the newsletter. It's 100% free. We don't ask you, we never ask you for a dime, but a lot of tools on fantasylife.com for both betting and fantasy, league sync and waiver wire assistance. And it's just a great site. They do a great job with it. And so anyway, ESPN said to me simply, hey, we want to sign you to a 3-year extension, but we want you to focus just on ESPN. We don't want, mm-hmm. you're going to have to give up this thing that you'd had a carve out for in your previous contract. And I love it. And I didn't want to give that up. And so as we were having those conversations, you know, we started talking to other people, and, you know, there was, hey, you know, my agents were like, hey, Matthew might be available. And so we sort of gauged the interest of the community. And I was very flattered that there were a lot of companies out there that said, like, Matthew's ever free, we'd be really interested in sitting down and talking to him. So anyway, ultimately, ESPN and I decided to, you know, we decided to part friends, and I decided to leave ESPN. And I was incredibly flattered and overwhelmed by the reaction that, you know, that was online. You know, I said to my wife, I said, well, it's really awesome to be trending on Twitter and not be dead or canceled.
Seriously.
You know, right. Yeah. You know, like, you know, and so, so that was really cool, a really cool moment for me. And so anyway, in terms of NBC, so we, you know, we started taking meetings, and by we, I mean, you know, I have agents. And so we started taking meetings with all the people that had said, like, yeah, if he's a free agent, we'd be really interested. And so we were like, hey, I'm a free agent now. And you know, it's sort of interesting. Olivia, I sort of made this joke before where it's like, you know, as you're going, taking these meetings, it's a little bit like, you know, dating as a single parent. You're like, hey, listen, I know you like me, but like, I also got this kid, you know, and I was just like, listen, you know, Fantasy Life comes with me. I'm not doing anything without Fantasy Life. And NBC, NBC just came over the top in just such a massive way. NBC came to me and they said, look, we love you. We'd love you to come over here and really help us out in this space. We know how important betting and fantasy is, and it's something we want to, you know, really dive into even more in a bigger way. And we think with you, we can do that. And so what we'd like to do is we'd like you to come over here. We want you to be a part of Football Night in America. You know, so the pregame to Sunday Night Football, the Amazing. Biggest show in television. It's literally the second highest rated show on television, not the second highest rated sports show. It's the second highest rated show in television. The only thing higher rated than that is the actual football game. And sure. So, you know, for me, it's the iconic pregame show. And that was always a big part of me. And I'll talk about this in a second. But it was important for me, as I always try to sort of push the ball forward for fantasy football throughout my career, to be a part of NFL programming. That was a big part of me, and not just like sort of some sort of off to some side set on the mm-hmm. shoulder, like, you know, where you're just like 45 seconds because whatever, some sponsor started, you know, sponsored a start sit, you know, thing. And I'm doing like, you know, just be a truly integrated member of the cast of a pregame show. And so NBC said, we'll put you on Football Night in America. We're going to give you a daily show on Peacock. That'll be a podcast of, you know, with your name on it. We'll do a Sunday show on Peacock and CNBC as well. We'll put you on Football Night in America. And as for Fantasy Life, they're like, we're totally comfortable with that. Chris Collinsworth owns Pro Football Focus. Mike right. Floria owns Pro Football Talk. Jim Cramer owns his investment club. So we've proven that we are, and I talked to some of those guys saying, what's your experience been with NBC? And they're like, it's been great. They're incredibly supportive of my side business. And, you know, they want me to accomplish what they need me to accomplish for NBC. And as long as I take care of that, like, they're good. And that's been the case here. They're like, yeah, we're going to need you to do X, Y, and Z for us here at NBC. And as long as you do that, not only can you have Fantasy Life and promote it and contribute to it, but, you know, if we can figure out a way for it to be a mutually beneficial relationship between Fantasy Life and NBC Universal, we'll promote it. We'll support it. And so we're having those conversations now, which have been great and productive. And I mean, I say this with no disrespect to my former home, but it is a dream come true to be here, to be at NBC. They have every single thing they've promised me, they have delivered on and over-delivered. It's been awesome, man. It's been great. And so, like, Olivia, just to take it full circle back to your question, what put them over the top? It was just that. I mean, like, they, at the highest levels of the company, they took me out to dinner and they recruited me and they're like, we'll pay you a nice salary. We'll let you have Fantasy Life. We'll put you on Football Night in America. I mean, you know, it's like, where do I sign?
It's great.
Where do I sign?
Good move.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Off of all that, what I find so fascinating too is trying to relate to that. I've been acting for a long time, but I got like the opportunity to be in a Clint Eastwood movie. And I was significantly more nervous than I ever was before, to a point where I'm like, do I even know how to do this? What is Matthew Berry feeling like moments before he's about to be on, as you said, the second biggest TV show in the country?
Jerry, that's a great question. It's exactly the same thing that you felt like when you were on the set of that the first time, you know, you're on set and there's Clint, you know, like it's the same thing. I'm just like, and the other thing is my first time was we made the announcement and literally hours later, I was on the field for the preseason game, the very first game of the year, the Hall of Fame game between the Raiders and the Jaguars. And so not only is it right, it's Football Night in America, but I also know like it's the first preseason game. It's the first game of the year. So there's gonna be a huge audience anyway. And then you're on the field and you're at the Hall of Fame, right? And so, like, you know, I'm standing there on the field and, like, whatever, there's, you know, Trevor Lawrence walks by. And then, you know, I see Davante Adams, you know, screwing around with Derek Carr. And you're like, and then, you know, it's like Mike Tirico walks. Hey, Mike, you know, hey, Matthew, welcome to the team. You know, Chris Collinsworth, like, you know, these guys that I've watched for years and years and years. And I knew Mike from my days at ESPN. So that helped. But, you know, super nervous. And, like, yeah, I mean, I'd been on TV almost every day of my life for 15 years, you know, on ESPN. And I don't think I've ever had butterflies like that, because it's one thing where you're like, yeah, my dumb little podcast or whatever I'm doing. Even when I was doing like Fantasy Football Now or the Sunday Show, that kind of stuff. It just, right. You know, Jerry, right. You've been acting your whole life and it's just sort of, I've done it for 15 years. It's like, you know, I know what I'm doing, but I was so, my heart's beating a million miles a minute and I'm trying to remember what I'm saying. And, you know, they're in your ear, rap and throw to Chris and what I'm doing. Cause my first segment was with Chris Sims. And yeah, I mean, I still honestly, you know, it's gotten a lot better, but I still get nervous every Sunday night.
Everyone's watching. The world's watching.
Everyone's watching. It is. I mean, like, well, because they literally say that. Like, and so my producer, Matt Casey, he'll we're watching the game. The show starts at 7 o'clock. And so we've got in the background, we've got the late games. But once, you know, and they'll end. And so I usually don't show up in the show until later on in the show. And so, like, you know, segment 6 and segment 7 and segment 8, and so, which are whatever, towards the end of the show. And so we'll have, you know, our earpieces in and everything like that. And we'll see like the last late game go final. And Matt always goes, all right, man, he'll just say whatever the late game was. Kansas City, Denver just went final. All right, guys, the whole country's with us. Let's go. You know, and it's like, and it's true, right? I mean, because, right, you know, like everyone watches that show. And so it's definitely nerve wracking. It's like, please don't screw up. Please don't screw up. And then, Jerry, and then you know this too, is because now that you've gotten into the betting and fantasy world as well, like, in addition to like just, okay, please don't screw up, then you're like, okay, whatever it is, you know, 12 million, 14 million people are watching me. This past week, 14 million people or whatever it was saw me say, I think Tua has a great game and just kills the Chargers.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like,
right.
I regret that in a big way. Why did I just, you know, why did I just tell so many people, why did I believe in Tua? You know, it comes with the territory, but people have been great. The response has been absolutely terrific. And what's really cool is, and this helps to answer your question, Jerry, is that NBC and specifically the cast of Football Night have been so welcoming. Because it's, I've been in situations many times in my life where it's just like, oh, what's the fantasy nerd doing here? What's the, like, oh, we got to do betting. We got, oh, man. You know, everything like that. And I have to tell you, to a person, when I came on the set, and I'm like, so I'm the new guy, right? I mean, like, and they've built this great show that's, you know, super successful over the years. And so I'm the new guy showing up. And, you know, Jason Garrett's new this year as well. But, like, you know, that's a guy that everyone that watches football has been seeing for years and years and years on the sideline. And he's been in the NBC family because he was calling USFL games last year. And I'm the new guy and the fantasy nerd and everything like that. And everyone was just like, hey, man, that's awesome. Thanks so much. They're like thanking me. We're like, oh, we're so glad you're here. And like, oh, we need to do more in fantasy and betting. And we're so glad you're here. And you give us credibility in the space. And like Maria Taylor, who I'd never met at ESPN because she worked on pro basketball and college football, which I never did. So I literally never interacted with her at ESPN. I walk up to shake hands with Maria to say hi.
Wow.
And she just immediately hugs me and she goes, welcome home. Uh-oh. You know what I mean? Like, and just, right? I mean, like, Maria's the best, whatever. And it's just a great cast and crew that have made me feel so welcome.
I'm so glad to hear that. Maria is the best. We both went to Georgia a couple years apart, and then I knew her at ESPN on the college football side. But I've got to ask you, because I think he may be the nicest man in show business, Mike Tirico. Is he not just the best?
He is the second nicest man in show business, because I will tell you that Tony Dungy is like Saint Tony. It's unbelievable. But yes, Mike is great. He's been really encouraging. You know, Mike's a fellow Orangeman like myself. Yes. We both went to Syracuse. And
oh, that doesn't narrow it down in our industry. That does not narrow it down.
It's certainly not an Orangeman. But Tirico is, you're 100% right. Tirico is great. He's the consummate professional. He is so good on air. He's just, I'm in awe of him and his play-by-play skills and just how good he is. But he said hi to me before the game, but after the game, all of us were back at the hotel and the cast and crew were, you know, we had like some pizzas and beers and stuff like that. And he pulled me over to the side and he was just like, here's the difference between ESPN and NBC. Here's what you can expect. And just sort of gave me, you know, a really nice kind of welcome here. You're going to love it here. Here's kind of a lay of the land. Here's some things that I found helpful. And by the way, you know, here's my cell and email. Still had it from ESPN, but he's just like, do you have it? You want to make sure? And anyway, Tirico's the best.
He's lovely.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned being at Canton, right? You know, you're a very busy guy. So we could maybe potentially end on this depending on your answer. I think there's a great opportunity for the NFL to include fantasy in the Hall of Fame, like a wing. Like a wing. And I think if anyone's ever going to preside over who gets in, maybe not the green jacket or a yellow jacket, maybe it's a silver jacket, I think you would be maybe the best call ever to preside over that.
I appreciate that, Jerry. That's high praise. I'll say this. I certainly think fantasy deserves a place somewhere in the Hall of Fame, some sort of acknowledgement. I will tell you that fantasy baseball is in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They have the original constitution of the very first, the rotisserie league baseball guys, and those guys have been honored at the Hall of Fame. So fantasy football has brought so much joy and interest into the game. And there are, you know, people over the years have tried to do fantasy Hall of Fames and that kind of stuff. But I do feel like 100%, I think that's a great idea, Jerry. It should be, I don't know how it's, you know, I'm not the curator of the Hall of Fame. I'll leave it to the people that are in charge of that to figure out how, But it absolutely, it's too woven into the game. It's too important to the overall fan enjoyment of the game to not have some sort of acknowledgement at the Hall of Fame.
All right. Do you have one player before you go then? If you are doing an inductee, now this could be a personal one. You don't have to go on who the, maybe just the best ever, a personal Matthew Berry. If it's my Hall of Fame, because maybe something this player did for you. Like for me, it's Randy Moss, only because of what he did for me for three specific years on that Patriots run. He'll get me my only chip. Who fits that criteria for you that's meant the most to you that you would say, that guy gets the silver jacket or whatever color our jackets are?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, guys, there's so many. I've been playing fantasy for so long.
I know. It's probably not fair because you have, you know, you can make a case for everyone.
Really can. I mean, like, you know, my very first fantasy league ever, I had Cordell Stewart, and he was like awesome that one year. And very first year I ever played fantasy football. I've been playing fantasy sports much longer than that, but that was in college. Listen, Darren Waller's, you know, kind of breakout year with the Raiders. He was a big sleeper for me. And I won a deep industry dynasty league where I beat a bunch of big names in the fantasy football industry. And it's a tight end premium league. And I had Waller. So like, he's important to me. I also have Mahomes in that league. I love Mahomes. God, I have to think about that one, really. I mean, you know, it's always sort of Jalen Hurts this year, like, who's my ride or die, and he's made me look
Brock
great.
Brock Purdy this year.
As well. What a crazy story Brock Purdy is as well. So, you know, I'd have to really...
Well, think about it. Come back and maybe give us a little...
anyone, all those guys. I mean, listen, Brandon Marshall. Marshall, especially like his rookie
20
year,
reception games.
Like, won me a championship. Yeah. Like, you know, so there's a bunch of guys that I would throw in there, you know, as well.
So speaking of Brock Purdy, there have been 54 different starting quarterbacks this year, which is mind blowing considering that if each team started two, we'd be at 64. So we're almost at each team starting two quarterbacks. With that in mind and with the fantasy perspective, what do you see from some of these backups that are now starters and who's going to do well for guys' fantasy leagues?
It's a great question, Olivia. You know, I think it's all dependent. It's, you know, what I will tell you, though, is what's interesting is that fantasy success in general comes from two things, talent and opportunity. And so a lot of these quarterbacks now have the opportunity. Do they have the talent? You're always surprised by it. Like Brock Purdy was a little bit of a surprise just because you didn't think he would run. You know, you don't think he's more of a pocket passer. He's not going to run. It's hard for a quarterback to have fantasy success when they don't run, right? Generally, in today's NFL, like you have to be able to, if you're going to have tremendous success as a non-running quarterback, you have to be like just a massive touchdown equity pocket passer like Joe Burrow, right? And so, you know, it just would Purdy have that, and Purdy ended up doing that. He was a little more mobile than I think people gave him credit for. I don't know that there's anyone that you feel great about. You know, I will say that I think we saw the Kyler Murray injury last night, which is just awful. I don't think Colt McCoy is going to be a great fantasy quarterback, but I think he's going to be competent enough to keep the fantasy prospects of DeAndre Hopkins and Marquise Brown alive, James Conner. He doesn't have the arm that Kyler Murray does, so I think he's going to dump off to, you know, James Conner a lot. I think when Rondale Moore comes back, if he comes back next week, I think Rondale Moore becomes pretty interesting. I will say if there's a backup quarterback that I would stream this week that's available in more than whatever, you know, 60% of Yahoo leagues or ESPN leagues, Mike White becomes interesting to me. He's at home against Detroit. So Mike White, in the three games in which he started, he's averaging at least 43 pass attempts. He's averaging 317 passing yards. He faces the Lions. Detroit allows the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Over the last 4 weeks, the Lions are giving up the third most passing yards per game. This game is in New York. Now, as we tape this podcast, the expectation is that White will be starting. He took a couple shots to the ribs, so it's not 100%. But like, if you're asking me, like, give me a backup quarterback that I could stream this week, Mike White would be my choice.
I've got just one more before I let you go.
Yeah, what do you got?
What's this about you giving Jay-Z fantasy football advice?
It's a fun story. 10 years ago, I get a call from a guy named Mike. And he says, you know, hey, Matthew, we're all big fans. My league's a big fan of yours. And we'd love you to come by our draft and hang out, you know, and just you can just kind of critique the picks, you know, give your analysis and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, it's in New York on this date. And I'm just like, listen, Mike, I don't know this guy from a hole. Right? I'm like, listen, Mike, I'm flattered. I really am. I appreciate it. But, you know, August is my busiest month. I live in Connecticut. It's like 2 hours to get to New York. And I'm swamped. And I just don't do that, honestly. I just don't go to random people's leagues and hang out for 3.5 hours. I'm sorry, you know. And he goes, well, it's for Jay-Z's league. When do you need me? What are the directions? What am I wearing? I mean, and I've told this story many times, but anyway, so I walk in and it was, so Jay-Z's league, the guy, Mike, that was asking me to be in the league is a guy named Mike Kaiser, who's the president of Atlantic Records and at Little Burger on Instagram as well. A lot of people don't. So he's very close friends with Jay and has been for 20 years. And so, I've now gone to that draft for 10 years. And so when I'm at the draft, sort of everyone kind of like, I'm kind of like a community property, if you will. And so there'll be times where Jay will call me over and ask me for some advice, or Mike Kaiser, Chris Paul is in that league.
Wow.
Irv Gotti from Murder, Inc. He's in that league. Jesse Itzler, who's one of the co-owners of the Atlanta Hawks. He's in that league. Great motivational speaker. Steve Stout from United Masters and Translation. He's in that league. Like Kevin Lyles, who, 300 Entertainment, former president of Def Jam. He's in that league.
That's a heavy hitter.
It's legends back and forth. Juan Perez, the president of Rock Nation Sports, he's in that league. It's all legends. It's all, so I'll just sort of pop around and people will, hey, Barry, I'm thinking about these two guys, who will say. So I give, Jay advice in that sense that, I'm at the draft. He's a really good player. He's the last year he won the championship. He's a really good player. He's in the playoffs this year. He's a really good player. He doesn't really need my help.
What did the loser in that league have to do? I've got to know. It's got to be big stakes.
They don't have a loser punishment. I will say it's a pricey league to get into. It's definitely a pricey league. It's one of those, Olivia, that if you have to ask,
you can't afford it.
Yeah, you can't afford to be.
I already knew that.
I'll leave it there. Kay. I'll say, though, that their trophies are in terms of first place. So Jay has a deal with Tiffany's. Mm-hmm. And so when he won the championship last year, they designed him.
Oh my God.
It's a Tiffany designed fantasy football trophy. Great. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. It's gorgeous. I don't even know what it costs, but the trophies in that league are just absolutely insane. There's a lot of stories that I could tell about the league. The one thing I'll say that
we should have started with this.
It's a great league, and all the guys in that league are great. And it's always one of my favorite days of the year is just going there and hanging out with all those guys. What's funny is the very first time I meet Jay-Z, I don't know what to call him.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's not like you get introduced to him the way you normally would. Like, hi, I'm Olivia. Matthew, meet Olivia. Olivia, meet Matthew. Oh, hi. Nice to meet you. How are you? Right. You don't, it's just like, he's him. Right. You know what I mean? And so he motioned me over and wanted to ask me a couple questions, but I don't know what to, like, do I call him do I call him Jay? Do I call him Hove? Do I call him Mr. Carter? Do I call him Mr. Z? Address my friends? You know what I mean? I'm literally sweating bullets thinking, how do I address him? You know what I mean? Because it's not like I've been introduced and it's not like we're friends. And I mean, he's, to me, he's the closest thing we have to royalty in this country.
Absolutely.
And so anyway,
you call him Sean? Isn't his name Sean?
What?
Isn't his name Sean?
Right, exactly. Sean, I call him Mr. Carter.
Intro. Yeah. You got to hope someone buffers that for you.
Right. King, Mr. President, King. What do I call him? And anyway, eventually everyone in the league calls him Jay or Hove. And so after about 3 hours in, I kind of floated a little trial balloon, hey Jay, what do you think about this tight end here? And he didn't react. So I was like, I can call him Jay. All right, good. So he's great, by the way. He's the one thing I'll say about him, what I will say is that what's incredible to me is that if you didn't know who he was, if you just met him without any context whatsoever, you would not know he's him. Mm-hmm. He's the most down to earth, normal dude you would ever meet. You know what I mean? He's super chill and it's disarming, to be honest with you. In terms of just how unaffected he is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
He's just the most normal guy, and yet I've been at events with him, or I've been in places with him, and it's just he can't walk 3 feet without being surrounded by 20 people. Mm. I mean, he's just he's that iconic, and anyway, but I love that guy. I mean, I absolutely love him.
Wow.
That's a good story.
We definitely might. We've kept you long enough. We're going to have to get you back for a follow-up because there's so much more to talk about. But Matthew Berry, thank you so much for being here. Good luck with the rest of the season. Keep adding to the trophy case for sure. And also, as you know, we will all be watching on Football Night in America. So continued success with that. Love watching you. Love seeing you succeed and doing your thing. You look like you're having a blast. So thank you for taking the time and coming on here and talking to us.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Glad we were able to make this work.
Thank you again for stopping by. And please come back if you could fit us. If you could fit us anytime. In, we'd love to have you back as we get into playoffs or even leading into next year.
Yeah, anytime, man. Happy to do it. Love you guys.
All right,
appreciate
thank
it.
You so
Take
much.
Care.
You know, when you hear that music, it is time to talk Entourage, to go back into Jerry's past and ask him really all the behind the scenes stuff. And I've got a good episode this week. I'm dying to ask you about Jerry. It's the Joshua Tree episode, the tripping shrooms. This has to be one of the episodes you're asked the most about. I know you say that frequently, but this one's got to be a fan favorite.
It is definitely up there. This is such a good one to talk about because, you know, we always talk about those episodes where we go somewhere really cool and usually spend like a few days shooting there, whether it was Hawaii or Cannes. Joshua Tree, which is really cool, not the greatest place to shoot in like the middle of July in the desert when it's 110 degrees. But the episode itself is one of my favorites because it was such like a non-Hollywood thing. And the whole premise of we're going there to find answers of Vince to do Benji, the movie, is just a hilarious premise. There's a lot here, so I'm curious what you want to talk about first, because I have a few stories off the top of my head.
Okay, well, I first have to ask, because I always thought if I was an actress and I had to be drunk in a scene, I've always said this, I would have a couple drinks before the episode. So my question is, did you guys do anything to loosen up a little bit before shooting this?
To my recollection, and I could definitely speak for myself, and I could speak for the other guys, no one did anything. And I've been asked a lot about, look, have I ever had a drink on a set before where I have no lines and it's a party scene? Yes. But here's how I would describe. If you have to play drunk or high, typically, what do drunk people or even stoned people say when you ask them, are you fucked up? They say, no, I'm not.
No.
They try so hard to play it straight. So if you really watch that episode, and we talked a lot about this, we're not doing like too much of the, whoa, it's so trippy. Yep. It's subtle. The funny thing is, and Kevin Connolly in the episode was giving Doug Ellen a lot of shit because he's like, Doug, I have no lines in the episode. My character doesn't speak.
It's the best part.
And he got nominated for a Golden Globe that year for the whole season.
God.
But like, it's like he complained, and you'll see in the next episode, there's a lot of jokes about him. He complained the most about these two episodes, and he got nominated for a Golden Globe 3 months later.
Oh my gosh. No, it was great when he says, he writes down, my mouth won't
my
talk,
mouth
say
won't
words
talk.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's so many lines in that episode. And it's funny, in some shows, I know it does contribute to the overall plot, but it does seem like kind of a one-off.
Yes.
Like, isn't there a phrase for that in Hollywood? Like in Ted Lasso, there's one Christmas scene. There's like one really trippy scene.
Yeah, it's kind
Ted
of
Lasso,
like,
I know, has two of
it's
them.
It's kind of like episodic, meaning like it has a beginning, middle, and end. Theoretically, there's not a ton of the overall storyline that gets pushed. Like, the only overall storyline really was, should Vince do Benji or should he go after Smoke Jumpers? So he gets that answer. But yeah, in a box, that episode has its own beginning, middle, and end. And you can watch it by itself without really knowing what's going on in the show, and it will still work for you.
Oh, and then the Ari and Lloyd banter in that episode is so good. You know Lloyd's my favorite character.
Yeah, they were doing naked Pictionary in the pool. That's a lot of fun. Funny story about Arnold the dog, who in the episode we're looking for the entire time. That dog's real name is Rocky, okay?
Okay.
So, like I said, it's 110 degrees. There are rattlesnakes in Joshua Tree. There was a take we did with Rocky, and then at the end of the take, he just ran back to his trailer, and Rocky would not come out of the trailer. Rocky basically wrapped himself. He's like, I'm done with the desert. Fuck you guys. It's over. So Rocky wrapped himself.
So he's the biggest diva of all of you.
For sure.
Like.
Absolutely.
So I guess I just have to know, what inspiration do you draw on when you're acting like you're tripping on mushrooms? Do you just draw on real life experiences?
I would say you could a little real life or maybe a little stories you heard. You know, okay. We definitely, like I said, we all got together and made the plan along with our director and Doug Ellen of like, we're not going to go for the like, wow, so trippy. Yeah.
You can't overact it.
Right. That story with my character at the end where he's like kind of crying, like, I want to call my mom. Apparently that really happened with either Connolly or Doug or one of their friends. That's a real story. Kevin Dillon has the line of the show.
The first time I got drunk, I said, someone call my mom.
Kevin Dillon had the line of the show, which I won't repeat, where he's peeing and he says, I thought I pulled my off. You know, everyone was firing on all cylinders that episode, but we were very happy to get back to LA after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other stories pertaining to that episode? Because again, it was just like a dime.
Yes, I do think so. Eric Roberts, who had the cameo playing himself, great actor, yeah. Eric Roberts, yeah. And he's driving that Winnebago. And do you remember that part where Vince sees like the firefighter and then he sees himself for a second? He thinks he's still, there was like a crane shot we were doing, right? So there's a crane in a car next to us following the Winnebago and the arm of it's like shooting us while we drive. And I feel like Eric Roberts almost took out the crane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think there is a chance that like we almost died. I think that,
so he was actually driving the Winnebago.
Yeah, he was driving the Winnebago for parts, not the whole time, but for certain parts he was driving the Winnebago. And last story, you know, we were in a hotel or a motel, I should say, very close. But there was a night when we were driving to a different location and we stopped at a Mohegan Sun or one of those types of places. Yeah. And we played some blackjack and craps and we were on a heater. It was a great episode. So we all won money too. It was a great episode.
Now that's a recurring theme I've noticed when you guys have gone to Vegas and you guys end up hitting the tables pretty hard. It's great that now you work in sports gambling.
Yes.
You were just getting your feet wet.
Yeah. No, I feel like I've been training for this my whole life.
All right. Well, I knew you'd have good stories on that episode. That was such a good episode. Okay, let's get over to our BetMGM betting analyst. We're not calling him expert, analyst, Peter Andrew.
The Lions.
All right, Peter, welcome back. I'm looking at last week. Not a bad week, only down 2 units from last week. I did love your over teaser because we love over players because I'm an emotional bettor. So it didn't pan out. We could blame our Dolphins-Chargers matchup for that. But you did hit on your boy Brock Purdy, did his thing for you. Got to feel good about that. And then your teaser, you know, you had the Browns. Did you have the Browns in the teaser? Yeah, you had the Browns in the teaser. You asked for it.
One measly point, I would have hit that. Chiefs did their business. I think you're right. That's what I get for betting on Browns. But Brock Purdy kept me somewhat floating towards even.
I still mutter about that Jets comeback win over the Browns that destroyed my 6-leg parlay. I still will wake up in the middle of the night being like, fucking Browns ruining that. I still will wake up in the middle of the night thinking about that. But it's a new week. Your man Brock Purdy is legit. So let's see if we can make the people some money here. What does Peter Andrews, what is your menu looking like this week?
Yeah, so 2 weeks in a row, he was game of the week, Fox on Sunday, Thursday Night Football at Seattle this week. I know he's technically on the injured list. I think he's questionable. They got an MRI on his oblique, but based off everything he said, he's good to go. So we're doing an OGP for the Niners. I couldn't resist. 2 units here. So first is just Niners money line, very plain and simple. I don't love the points here. I think it's going to be closer than people expect. And I think it's a low scoring game.
What's the spread right now, Pete?
Spread is Niners are -3.5.
Correct. In Seattle. Okay. -3.5.
You're staying away.
Staying away. I just like money line here. So taking Niners money line, I'm taking Seattle under 21.5 points. So they played early in the season. Niners kept them to 7. I think.
Yeah.
Niners defense obviously matches up really well against them like they do with the rest of the NFL. So I see similarities from early on to right now. If anything, the defense has gotten better.
In Seattle and then, without K-9.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big part of it.
But San Fran without Debo.
San Fran without Debo. Dodged a bullet there. Looks like only 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. Thank God. This week is going to be about the running game. I think Seattle's got a bottom three defense, run defense specifically. So I'm boosting McCaffrey up from, I think it's right around 60, 70 yards was his over-under. I'm actually taking 100 plus. So I think this is a heavy run game. They are going to exploit them with their zone running. Those three things combined plus 425. So that's $20 to win 85. So that's two units there. Really like all three. McCaffrey looked awesome last week. It's just funny because I feel like they used their offense for probably 2.5 quarters, maybe.
Yeah.
Because things were just so out of control. I think you could have seen record numbers from lots of guys. Purdy didn't even hit over 200 yards because they
didn't
essentially
to.
Took him out of the game. Didn't have to, right? So I think it'll be a little bit different, a little closer here. Lower scoring, like I said, I can see something like a 21-17 Niners win. So yeah, 425, I think good value there for just three picks in the one game parlay.
Good value. And yeah, without Walker and without Debo, I like the McCaffrey over rushing yards and the under 21.5 Seattle points. Okay, two units, 20 to win 85. Love that. Do we have a teaser this week?
We do have a teaser this week.
Oh boy.
First, real quick, you got Bills -1.5 at home against Miami.
Love it.
Miami's been on a bit of a steep decline here. Haven't looked great. Rumor last week, you know, or the last couple of weeks when they play in cold weather, 55 degree weather, they're using heat warmers on the bench.
We love that rumor.
It's going to be,
you don't say,
it's going to be what, 15 to 20 degrees in Buffalo this weekend. They are going to suffer. I was half considering taking this alone, but I'm just teasing it down to 1.5 in case something funky happens. Vikings, I've teased them down to +2 against the Colts. If this was any other team, I would not be looking at the Vikings. They have a horrendous defense, specifically their pass defense. But the good news is the Colts can't throw the ball.
Right.
So I think must win game for them. You know, they're pretty locked into their playoff spot, obviously, but they're fighting for the 2-3 seed. And I think this is an important game to get kind of back on track. So I like Vikings to take care of business, probably pretty handily. And then Jags +10.5. I've teased that. They're at home against Dallas. Dallas looked really shaky last week against Houston, against your Houston Texans. I actually think Jags win this game outright this week. So I think the 10.5 points there is a nice little buffer. Trevor Lawrence looks awesome. I mean, it's taken a year and change.
Finally.
But he's actually got some weapons now. I think this dude, Zay Jones, is legit. They have ATN. I mean, they have some weapons now to build off of him. And I think he's kind of proven himself to be that legitimate number one overall pick. So could sprinkle some money line there with some extra units. But 10.5 seems really good, especially at home.
Okay. So that's five units. You got five remaining. How are you going to use the remaining five? Big week for you, Peter. Yeah. Andrew.
Similar to last week, how I felt so good about the Niners -3.5. I got my lock of the week. I've been talking about this since the game on Sunday.
Ooh, lock of the week.
Lions +1 at the Jets, yeah, at MetLife.
Wow. Yeah.
They've already beat a MetLife team once this year. I think you remember that, Jared.
I do, and that typically happens when teams play both Giants and Jets in Jersey. They usually win both games.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's a combination of things here. Start with the Jets. Mike White got shaken up real bad last week, so he's clearly not going to be playing at 100%. I think he was in and out of the game like three times last week. I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a cracked rib from the hits he's taken. Fast forward to this week, you got guys like Hayden Hutchinson coming at him. I think he's in for a bit of a rude awakening. And then on the other side of the ball, you got the Lions, who, again, similar to the Jags, seem like they have a kind of complete offense right now. They've traded away TJ Hockenson, but you bring in a guy like Jameson Williams last week, who had his first touchdown, which is amazing to see after that torn ACL. Jamal Williams looks great. They're playing really complete football. They are probably going to end up short of the playoffs just because they put themselves in a pretty deep hole to start the season, but they're going to do everything in their power, and Dan Campbell specifically, to get right close to that 7 seed, especially if you see teams like the Giants or the Commanders tail off a little bit, even Seattle. They've got a shot still, and clearly he's putting every trick in the book out on the field. I mean, fake punts, Penei Sewell with a 4th down completion, their star guard. So they're going for it, and I love to see it, and I think that's what people were kind of hoping watching Hard Knocks this year, is seeing that team really kind of ride behind their coach. So I think they win. I think they win big. Jets are on the way down here. They have not looked great, and obviously a bunch of injuries have kind of turmoiled their season a little bit. So 5 units, -110, +1 Lions there. It's not worth the value of money line. It's only, I think, an extra 5 cents, so take the +1 just in case, but really like the Lions this week.
Okay, that's a good argument.
I do think that teams that win one, if they go into the Sinatra, as it called, or whatever, I think that's in play here. And the Lions are surging. I mean, I think that this is a better time. We talked about the Lions and Jared Goff a lot today, so this is a good bet. I'm definitely gonna ride with you on that, OGP.
Yeah. Just don't get him started again, Peter. Don't.
Hopefully on the same side as me and not go opposing everything.
No, I'm on the same side as you. Yeah, I'm on a draft, don't draft the quarterback side, which is a healthy debate for right now. But let's see how the rest of the year goes. But I really like the OGP. I don't know what you were feeling, Olivia.
Well, unlike Jerry, I ride with you every week, Peter. Every week. We will see you next week. I'm excited for all of your hot takes. And I also like, you know, kind of selfishly when you're wrong, when you're bad, because it's nice to rub it in because we have that friendly rivalry. Both Jerry and I are always going to be against you as a 49er fan. That's one thing we have in common. But thanks again for popping
on.
True
friends.
Make sure you follow us and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and on the YouTube page if you want to watch us, because... you know, Jerry just looks even better than he sounds, so you've got to watch it. But thanks, guys, for joining us. See you next week.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.